I've gotten to know quite a few of you over the last 6 months. Yes, it's been that long. And I've discovered that you are my kind of salt. For example, I've told Jody and Daryl and Jeremy and Imani or Chris, all the musicians, how important I think music is to worship. Sermons and readings are important too. But see if you don't agree with me on this. I've usually put it this way. If I go to worship and the sermon was great, but the music not so good, that was a bad Sunday. If I go to worship and the music was great and the sermon sucked, good Sunday. And I know from experience. Maybe you've gotten to know me too well. The spoken or printed word is informative, but my experience is that music is transformative. Good music, and I use the word carefully about music, good music is lovely, as in it is capable of inspiring love, I think. It has power similar to smell, if you will, the scent of your favorite meal or your favorite person, the smell of home. It has a way of pulling you to a different time and place. It has a way of inspiring and recalling love. So, music's important. And I know it's important to you. I think that's why we resource music so well at Faith, because it's important. You're my kind of salt around music. And you're my kind of salt for another reason. Believe it or not, I'm an introvert. My idea of a good party or a bar is someplace quiet enough that I can talk to two or three people for an evening without all the raucous noise where people have to yell at each other to talk. I like quiet. And I get the impression that many of you do too. Unless it's during a children's sermon about Daniel and the lion's den, and then a little uproar, see what I did there, is appropriate. So you quiet folks are my kind of quiet salt, if you will. But you are not the only kind of salt. I am not the only kind of salt. Jeff Wilson, a friend of mine, he's a pastor at St. John's Lutheran in Riverdale, Maryland. And he's also a chef. Jeff is in a pastor's group that meets every Tuesday morning by Zoom. And we study the lessons for the upcoming Sunday. Check him out on Facebook. When you open that page, his cover photo is a heart, and it says, love people, cook tasty food for them. Some of you, I know, are good cooks also. Many of you enjoy fine food. I get that. But when Jeff starts talking about preparing dishes, I usually zone out. Except on Tuesday, he started talking about salt, and I knew what the text was, and I thought, this could be useful. So I listened. I'm thinking, he starts talking about salt, probably has something to do with Jesus. Turns out Jeff knows a lot about salt. He said he's got 12 kinds of salt. And I won't go through all that he said about it, but he talked about you don't use kosher salt when you need table salt. And then there's, of course, Himalayan salt. That, by the way, is a Himalayan salt lamp. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. So now I want one of those as a conversation piece so that when somebody says, what's that? I can say, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus told his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. He did not say, you are the garlic, cilantro, balsamic olive oil of the church, of the world, of the earth. By the way, balsamic, cilantro, really good on grilled salmon, but I digress. Salt was pretty important in the ancient world. Roman soldiers were paid with salt. The word salary is derived from the word for salt. You're worth your salt means you're worth what we pay you. You're valuable. Salt was also an everyday, if expensive, commodity. Everyone needed it, and everyone used it. And it turns out there are all kinds of salt, at least 12 kinds I know of. So stop worrying. If you are thinking, well, I'm not what Jesus was talking about, yeah, you're the right kind of salt. So let's not miss any of Jesus' point. Jesus did not say to them, someday you will be salt to the earth. He was saying you are already important, valuable, needed. You are. And not if you get your act together, not when I work things out, not when I can afford the time, not when I become a better person. You are already what God needs to flavor and preserve the world. Simple as that. And he says you are the light of the world. A couple of weeks ago, I was telling you, almost a month ago, there was a time a month ago I thought my friends were acting really weird. Turns out I was the one who was acting weird. I've reflected on that a lot over the last month, and I've wondered how many other times I thought other people were weird, and it was me. I thought other people that I disagreed with were absolutely mistaken or misinformed or stupid or evil. This week, I hear Jesus say to me and to you, you are the light of the world. And I wonder how many times Jesus said, you are the light of the world, and then did a facepalm and said, not real bright, but you are the light of the world. Still, like it or not, bright or not, we are the light of the world. And we ought not discount our power to enlighten and inform and influence the world around us. I still remember my college mission statement. It is the mission of my college, it said, to influence the affairs of the world by sending into it informed men and women committed to the Christian life. You are light and salt, and you get to influence the world. Jesus trusted that God could use us and, in fact, was already using us. And that trust, well, that trust that God accepts and uses the broken and the meek and the poor in spirit, that trust that Jesus had in God's use of people who did not appear to be very bright or salty, it ended up costing him his life. The world loves winners, not broken folks. People who are willing to lose, risk their money, their time, their reputations, their lives for justice or equality, we know how the world treats them. We celebrate that this month. They might show up in a human interest story at the end of a news broadcast, but rarely do they show up on the business pages because they are not successful. You won't see them forming a political action committee usually, but you'll see them in the resurrection. Salt of the earth, people, you make a difference in the world. So, two last things. If you're wondering what it is you're supposed to be doing as God's salt, stop wondering what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be doing anything. Salt doesn't do. Salt is. It's more about being than doing. Pay attention to when you feel most alive. And my guess is that will tell you where and when you're salt. Second, like listening to good music, just let it happen. A few minutes ago, you heard and sang beautiful things. If you were moved to sing, great. Martin Luther said, those who sing pray twice. But if you only listened, you didn't have to do anything to be influenced by to be moved, to be blessed. Music does that. It blesses without you having to do anything, simply because you are. Like God's love transforming you. You don't have to do. You are salt and light. Thanks be to God.